pause for a moment here while Roger finds his headphones. He's been doing so much research and taking so much time looking into things that, yeah, there's the headphones, and there we go. He has them on. There you go.
Okay. Hi. Are we doing a show today?
I just figured I'd do play-by-play.
Yeah,
picking up your headphones, you know, it's my little way of saying, we'll pause for 30 seconds while Roger finds his headphones.
Be prepared. Yes, I'm ready now.
Okay,
Let the fun and festivities begin.
Good. They already began, but that's okay. You know,
I couldn't hear.
I'm used to you having to catch up, so that's fine.
I was born that way.
Hi.
Hi. Jeremy
Lawrence here with you. And
Raj Taylor with his headphones on, I might add.
You know, we were in doubt there for a second because you were struggling to dig around in the little, is that like a man bag or what is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big man bag.
There you go.
And as I couldn't find something in it, I said, it appears it's a lot like a purse because I see my wife doing that regularly.
Well, it's tough to lose headphones in there, though. I would think those would be... right front and center.
The adapter I need that I couldn't find. The headphones were right on top.
That could get lost, certainly.
Yes. So. Our equipment here doesn't take the new smaller plugs. Mm-hmm. It's Stone Age and requires the big thing, whatever size
the
that
big
is.
The big thing, whatever. I learned what that was in college, but that was over 20 years ago and thus... in the recesses of file 13 in my brain. So, you know.
You know, I try to amaze people with our technical jargon here. and, you know, when I use the big thing. Mm-hmm.
See, just as long as you don't go into what they used to do on Star Trek with all the techno babble.
That's true.
Well, we got to get those tachyon particles to, whatever that is. Okay.
But, you know, a lot of what was in Star Trek has come about.
Mm-hmm.
Tablets. The first tablet you ever saw was on Star Trek,
oh, yes.
I'll betcha.
Communicators.
And
got our phones now that do that.
I read an article that they are actually working on teleportation.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they've moved one atom from one place to another. It's a long way before we start beaming humans,
I gotta mention that if they ever did that, I think there's a part of me that would be intrigued, but another part of me that would be very much Dr. McCoy's attitude about it. You want to scramble my molecules all over space? Go right ahead. Uh-huh.
Right. Wouldn't that be the way to travel, though?
It'd be a lot quicker, that's for sure.
High-speed rail, poof, and you're in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing about it, though, is with a lot of that technology, and I read this from one of the producers of Star Trek, and they were talking about, you know, that they get questions sometime, and he says, you know, one of the questions that people ask me often is, how does the transporter work? And he says, very well, thank you.
Yep.
So,
How does it work?
I'll tell you what, there's a lot to talk about, none of which does it have to do with Star Trek episodes or anything like that. We're just like nerds that way, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
We digress.
But there's a lot of different things. We're going to be talking about State of the State a little bit later on because the governor is delivering that tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually going to be broadcast right here on WKZO, so you can check that out. See what the governor has to say.
It's appointment radio. You ought to be listening.
Mm-hmm.
And not just get a synopsis of what he says. You ought to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan is facing some issues.
Sure.
And hearing exactly how he thinks we can address those issues.
Get to hear his take on it.
Yeah.
Now, before the governor gives his state of the state, we got with Michael Patrick Shields.
And
they're going to be doing a special program, sort of a pre-state of the state that we'll be presenting beforehand. That gets underway at 5:30.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
And
there's going to be interviews, all sorts of people they're going to be talking about, I guess. So that we look forward to having that on right before State of the State. So we're going to give you plenty to listen to there.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be able to hear opinions on what people think he's going to say, mm-hmm. what their initial reaction is, that kind of thing. So they're going to be doing that. And we got it right here for you. So this is your headquarters for it.
That's a good lead-in for appointment radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to listen.
So just, set your watch by that. Have your smartphone remind you. And there's another thing, too. If you want to listen on your smartphone, we've got an app for that, too.
Yeah.
So
we stream.
There's a way to do that. So, I find myself listening on the app every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very... very helpful, very user-friendly.
Well, and I hear from people from all over in Birdwatch, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Who are listening online. And,
yeah.
You can be anywhere and still listen to
So
us.
You're saying people all over the world are saying that Roger is for the birds.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That Roger's a bird brain.
So, but we are going to be talking about State of the State a little bit later on in the program. What do you think that the governor ought to cover? That's the question we'll ask you. So you can kind of have that percolating in your brain. And, of course, when we get into that topic, you can give us a call and share your views on that. Because you know what? There's a lot of different people in this state and a lot of different viewpoints on what we need to be looking at.
Well, another thing you could mention is what he ought to leave alone.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some areas the governor ought not be mm-hmm. involving himself, whatever you think he should or shouldn't be doing, fair game.
Governor hands off education, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd love to hear that as well a little later in the program as we talk about that. We're going to be talking about cats as well.
Meow.
At some point. There's a study out that's going to tell you something that you probably already knew. Because most of those studies do that sort of thing. I have no idea why, but I think I missed out on the wrong line of work.
Do you know you have a true cat expert on your staff?
Is that so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Abramowski.
Uh-huh.
His cat, Martin, is renowned.
Okay.
But at one time, he and his ex
mm-hmm.
Had 13 cats.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
knows his stuff.
Oh, boy. He could do cat radio.
You know, the funny thing is he's right in the next room and doesn't know we're talking about him. It's great. You know, he's just...
No, he's forgotten more about cats than... the rest of us know, although you have said you have developed an affection for cats.
Well, and we'll get into that when we get into this. But yes, I do have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll chat about all of that. Before we get to that, though, we figured, you know what? We're always starting with such heavy topics.
Right.
We're always starting with such earth-shaking, groundbreaking stuff that we wanted to start with something a little bit lighter.
Uh-huh.
So Roger and I decided to talk about minimum wage.
Right.
Because it's such a light, fluffy topic.
Right. That, there's no controversy
not at all.
With it.
No. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the minimum wage. There's a story that that I saw on CNN that they are talking about how a minimum wage increase could mean a raise for everyone. And they give some examples in their story. I won't go into it because this doesn't need to be about Jeremy Lawrence reads CNN. You know, that doesn't work. I don't think you need to. You just need to read the story. But there's been an awful lot of talk about minimum wage, Congress looking at raising it at some point. It's currently $7.25 an hour. I guess what they're looking at, congressional Democrats and the president are talking about raising it to $10.10 by next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's some other states that have come in and raised it on their own separately.
Yeah, 13 states did January 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the big one, California, raises the minimum wage by a buck 1st of July.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this, looking at what California is and the prices of things in California makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a job that pays what you're making now here, and you take that and go to California, you'll be able to rent a closet.
right.
for the same money that you use for your house or your apartment. You know,
if you want to go to San Francisco, you can't even get a closet.
Yeah.
You don't get anything in that town. Not a thing.
Tell you what, corner of this bench right here.
Yeah, you can sit on that during daylight hours.
And I find it interesting, as you look at the minimum wage debate and the thrust of this story that a minimum wage hike could mean that everybody gets a raise, I don't necessarily buy it, because while there are some businesses that are saying, all right, it's going to be more expensive to do this, I don't know that every business does that, because they look at things from the standpoint of going, all right, we have to give a raise to these people because they're making minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
It's increased. We got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you do to pay for that increase? And if you decide, okay, I'm going to give an increase to everybody on staff, suddenly you've got more money that you're having to spend to be able to pay your people.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to end up doing? You don't want to just give up that money. You might not even have that in your profit margin.
You're going to look for ways to become a leaner, meaner machine,
mm-hmm.
and you're likely going to raise prices a
little
bit.
Exactly.
Yep.
And to my mind, a business looking at this saying, all right, we're going to have to do something here, a lot of times they're going to look at higher prices on things.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of businesses have already cut to the bone
mm-hmm.
on what they can economize on. You know, you can still economize on maybe a thing or two, but there's not much there to be able to trim back. So you're talking about higher prices,
mm-hmm.
which if enough businesses do that, it's all coming out of our wallet. And it kind of defeats the purpose a little bit of saying, hey, here's more money. But guess what? Now you're going to have to pay more for groceries because the price is going up, because labor costs are going up. I tend to look at it this way. And I'll bounce an idea off of you, Roger.
Okay.
When it comes to minimum wage, number one, I think the states ought to be where that's set to be able to say, all right, we want to have workers here, so we're going to set it at this rate based on what it costs to do business in this state. And I have no problem with that. I think that's a good idea. Secondly, though, and here's the idea I wanted to bounce off of you. It seems like we continue to have this debate about minimum wage, and we have it about once every 6 or 7 years
mm-hmm.
is the frequency it seems to come up. I wonder if it wouldn't be a little more proactive for Congress to look at this and say, all right, instead of raising the minimum wage, what we're going to do is index the minimum wage to inflation, and it will increase based on what that figure is.
Well,
so that way they don't have to keep looking at this all the time and say, well, it's too low. Let's raise it again, because it's very controversial.
There you go being logical again, Jeremy. We're talking Congress and logic in the same sentence.
Never the twain shall meet.
Hello. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I record this moment?
We
It happened once. He said I was exactly right.
On one topic, in one brief shining moment.
I'm going to have to go get that, play it back a few times. That felt good. All right.
Roger said I was right today. But, we're concerned about the number of people who qualify for the SNAP program or food
mm-hmm.
stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me think about this a second. If you want less people on food stamps, have wages that get you above qualifying for food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so simple to me that you can't want to cut food stamps and be opposed to a wage that comes closer to a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
At least a wage that gets somebody working full time above the poverty level so they no longer qualify for government aid.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a much more reasonable way to deal with the issue. And then dealing with it once and being done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, am really sick of Congress doing something that's in place for 3 months, knowing that it's all going to unravel in 3 months and we'll be back in the same place.
Sure.
Crazy people do the same thing over and over and expect different results. And
here you are talking about crazy people in Congress in the same sentence. Amazing.
I think that goes, I don't see any disconnect there.
This is one of these things where listeners are going, yeah, okay, he's right. I don't want to admit it, but he's right. Yeah, okay.
But index it, have it tied to the inflation rate, and get on with life.
Mm-hmm.
Quit screwing around with the same things over and over and over.
Well, and I think part of it, too, and maybe this is two separate ideas, I don't know, but make it so that it's more of a state issue than a federal issue. Because let's face it, Washington, D.C., making one ruling for 50 states when you know California has 3-4 times the cost of living to do there versus what it takes to live in, say, Indiana or someplace in the South or Michigan or any other place. It feels to me like, you know what, let's take this to the state capitals. Let them decide what the minimum wage ought to be. And maybe that's a totally separate idea, but just a couple of ideas to throw out there to say, look, should this even be in the hands of Congress? I don't know.
What do you think that gains by having 50 different debates on what the minimum wage should be and when there should be an increase versus doing it once on a national basis and to have it be over with? Some of the programs we want to reduce are national federal programs.
SNAP, for instance.
Sure.
Yeah. I just look at it and say, all right, a minimum wage of, yeah, you know, and okay, we're at what, 7.25 right now, according to the article. 7.25 will go a whole lot further in some communities than it will in others. So to say 7.25 is the minimum wage in City A in the middle of the South or something like that, or 7.25 in City B over here in Southern California, where the costs are just way bigger than that. It kind of feels like this is something where the states need to step up and say, you know what, thanks but no thanks, federal government. We're going to take care of it ourselves, and we're going to address the needs of our citizens in our state, because I think that government on a state level is going to know better what's going to work for their state than on the federal level. That's just my theory, and maybe it's just a little too grounded in what ought to be rather than what is. But
well, we're sort of there now.
Mm-hmm.
Where the federal government appears to set the floor.
Mm-hmm.
This is the true minimum wage for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned just a minute ago, January 1st, 13 states did exactly what you're suggesting.
Which I'm fine with.
And
that's fine.
If number 14 coming up in California yet this year.
And if a state feels like, you know what, we can address it better than what the federal government can, in my mind, that's great. Because it gets government out of Washington, D.C. and back in state capitals. And that's where it needs to start going back. Now, do you take it beyond that to a local level? No, I think that makes it too much of a mess in terms of a minimum wage on a local level. But I think the states really ought to address it.
Well, and clearly national businesses have already adapted to different wages in different states. And so it isn't going to be too cumbersome for a company that has a national payroll to meet the requirements of each state. But I think we're doing what you're suggesting already. There's nothing in the federal law that keeps it from happening.
The thing that concerns me about it is looking at minimum wage, looking at small businesses, because small businesses is where a lot of the new jobs come from. People starting up small businesses and things like that. If they suddenly have that much more they're going to have to pay for, that's going to make it a little tougher to make payroll and all of that stuff and still come out with enough to maybe even pay yourself at the end of it all. The story from CNN talks about this woman that decided with her daycare that she was going to give a raise to all of her 16 employees. She did it at the expense of herself, saying, I'm taking a pay cut. And not every business owner is going to be willing to do that. She did that, and hats off to her. And she's certainly not happy about the increased cost. So where's the cost going to come from? And that's the other part of it, is to say that, well, costs are going to go up and that kind of thing. I think you really need to, and this is one of these things where I'm going to sound a bit like a broken record, you really need to look at ways to get more jobs, higher paying jobs, high tech jobs, all the good stuff, so that in the end, minimum wage is what it ought to be, entry level for teenage workers and young workers, college workers and things like that, and not survival wages for people that just can't get a job elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know what that looks like. I know we have different viewpoints on that,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's something that government is not looking at. They're too busy arguing with each other.
Well, let's go back to the woman you mentioned that had the daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what is going on in her mind, I'm thinking, and this is based on running a small business for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
She can't afford to lose all of her most experienced help.
Certainly.
If she wants to offer quality daycare, she needs experienced people who
sure.
do that
yeah.
and make happy clients who are happy to bring their kids there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't lose your help
mm-hmm.
and have untrained minimum wage employees just rotating through your business.
Mm-hmm. And some people will look at it that way. Others will just look at the bottom line. But it depends on the individual business.
You got to manage your own business.
Sure. We continue the discussion. Keep it right here. And the program continues ahead, talking minimum wage. And certainly, as we get through the news break, we'd love to hear your opinion on it. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. The show, I promise, will continue. You just need to keep it where, Roger?
Right here, 590 WKCO.
Program continues ahead. It's 26 degrees, fortunately, on the outside here at the studios at WKZO.
Did you notice Bob called the snow right?
Yes,
right
he did.
Right on the money.
He did.
That's why they're called AccuWeather, apparently.
Well, and that's why he's in the whole meteorological business, and, you know, we're here talking because we don't know how to do anything else.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know.
Those who can do and those who can't become radio hosts. Is
I
that
guess,
how it
you
works?
Know, I don't know if that's how you want to feel about it. Sure. I'll deny it the whole time, but it's probably true.
But no, Bob called it exactly right. We mm-hmm. didn't get anywhere near 6 inches of
no,
snow.
No. And yeah. I think, you know, that's the one thing that I've found, particularly being in this area, that anytime that you hear somebody coming along and saying, we got to panic, weather's coming, it's going to be 42 inches or what, you know, I mean,
yeah.
they come up with something ridiculous sounding. I always go, okay, wait a minute. What's Bob got to say?
Yeah.
Or I do use their app as well.
Yes.
I look at that whenever I'm not around here.
Yes,
but,
do I.
But, you know, because I feel like, you know what, these guys seem to be on top of it. They know their stuff around here. So, you know, I got to hand it to Bob.
Well, and being a weather geek, I really like the WKZO.com radar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That radar blows because you can get right down to street level with
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's I play with that more than any other weather radar. Yeah. Yes,
now,
I play with weather radar.
Now, let's face it. I mean, that doesn't help you quite as much during the wintertime when the snow's flying. But
right.
that kind of getting down to street level, and that's going to help you a lot when severe weather comes along in the spring
mm-hmm.
and summer.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you want to know, is that coming to my neighborhood?
Yeah.
And that's a great way to track it. I know I probably don't play with the radar as much as you do, Roger, but I have before gotten on there to see, all right, when's the front coming in?
Yeah.
What's it look like? What's it hitting right now?
Yeah.
And what are they getting up there? What is that going to mean for when it gets here?
Especially if you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look ahead and see what I'm traveling into.
Mm-hmm. Very useful.
Yeah.
Very useful. So if you're curious about that, you could just simply go to our website. We make it so easy for you. It's just unbelievable. Go to WKZO.com. Look up top.
Well, there's
a
little
weather
radar.
Yeah, there's
a
little thing there.
Yeah.
But you can switch over and see some of the big stuff and get into temperatures and all that fun stuff. Because we just have it there for you because, you know what? We know that, okay, there's not too many people out there like Roger, but there are people who are sort of a weather nerd that want to check up on that. Or maybe you just want to check up on the radar, just like me.
Well,
and you want to say, all right, yeah, what's it going to be? What's happening? What's happening up north, and is it coming this way?
Even I use the weather radar even in the winter because nobody knows where exactly the lake effect bands are going to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving to Grand Rapids, it's sometimes nice to know you're driving into that 5-mile-wide blizzard on the way to Grand Rapids. And so,
and if you see that, it gives you an idea, all right, what's 131 going to be like when you head up that way?
And how much time do I need to allow to get to Grand Rapids?
Mm-hmm.
But Bob's listening at this point, and so he was spot on the amount of snow. Did you hear that, Bob?
I heard that. It sure applies everywhere because amounts do tend to vary. But
don't equivocate. Well, you did good.
you know what, Bob? You should take this because earlier in the program, Roger told me I was right. So I think he's in a good mood
I'm
today.
Sucking up to everybody
okay,
today.
Yeah. We shouldn't fight it, right?
Right. Yeah. Just go with it.
Just have to bask in these brief moments, brief as they are, because they will go away. Like, we can guarantee
that. I'll go back to normal.
Yeah.
What is normal for you? I got to ask.
That's a secret.
Right.
Well, Bob, certainly no secret that weather takes place, and we'd like to find out what we're looking at in the next couple of days. So have at it. Let
us prolonged know. Period of typical January cold for the next few days and nights, which will include your typical amount of snow showers or snow flurries. No big storms on the horizon, no Arctic outbreaks, no polar vortex, which got so much attention last week, but certainly no sign of any other January thaw. We've come through that period of above average temperatures for, 4 or 5 days in a row? That's not gone. We say goodbye to that. And although we get back close to average tomorrow, lower 30s, it's right back to a little bit colder again for Friday and Saturday and probably right through the weekend. Okay. Snow-wise, there have been more snow up to the north around Grand Rapids, but even there it's let up now and it's moving east of them. There's a little disturbance moves east. There are still lake effect snow showers, but nothing major. So bottom line is just snow flurries tonight and mid-teens. We get to 30 or above tomorrow, so it's a little less cold, but back to a high of just 26 on Friday with another round of snow, which at that point could bring an inch or two. Looks like the snow might pick up again a little bit late Thursday night and Friday.
Okay, so
the word.
Roger, can you guess what his word is before he comes up with it?
Normal.
Normal. Okay. What is it, Bob?
The word is persistent.
Persistent.
Just persistent. Okay. Same old, same old, same old. And
you're on the right track.
You know what? It is pretty much normal. So that works.
I'm not taking over the weather word of the day, Bob.
You're doing a fine job, though.
So, Bob, I wanted to ask, because we heard back when the polar vortex was here and all of that, that I was remembering that night or two where they were talking about the northern lights could be seen
in some
parts of the country. Did that end up happening a lot of different places? Or?
I am not aware. I do know that in many places where it was where there was the best chance of seeing it, it was completely cloudy, which would negate being able to see the aurora if it's cloudy. And I'm not aware of there being any reports. I'm sure there were some reports of that. It couldn't have been cloudy everywhere, but I don't have an answer for you there.
Yeah, we didn't see him here. At least I didn't. Now, of course, I never look up, so doesn't help me. But I was just curious about that. Figured you would be the man in the know.
When it was most you know, was expected to, the best chance of seeing that was, I believe, last Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I was not here Friday night and was not in the office over the weekend. So at that point, I didn't have access to reports from all across the northern tier of states and on into Canada. So it is during that time period where it could have happened, and I wasn't following up on it. I personally did not see it, but I know that a lot of places were cloudy, from Michigan eastward to New England, westward to Minnesota. And if it's cloudy, you can't see it. So
Bob,
the places that had the best chance of seeing it may not have been able to see it because of the overcast.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm shocked. You don't work 24/7?
Yeah. There's always weather 24/7, right? But I'm not always the one monitoring it.
But you're always thinking about it.
That's true.
What I like. It's always on your mind.
This is true.
Well, and this time of year, it's always on our mind, too. That's why,
yeah.
That's why we keep Bob on speed dial. Well, Bob, thanks for checking in and keeping us in the know.
Hey, Jeremy.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you then, Roger.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we're looking forward to something a little more normal.
Yes.
Normal.
Normal.
What is that?
Temperatures around 30 and an inch or so of snow every day.
Hmm. Have we experienced that before? Normal? Wow. I haven't seen it yet this winter. All right. We continue ahead with the program. You keep it right where you got it. And we continue ahead with the program. Jeremy Lawrence here with you.
Raj Taylor, along for the ride.
I didn't ask.
Oh. Don't matter. I'm on for the ride.
Of course you are anyway. So, you know, animals are fun.
Yeah.
They just are. We've had both dogs and cats over the years that we've had animals at our house. Currently have a cat. But researchers have decided because they just need to research something, that they would research something that's probably terribly obvious.
And that is?
This research claims that your cat, if you have a cat, thinks that you're just another cat. Which certainly goes against the way my cat acts, I got to say that. But the research said that, and I don't know why they decided to look into this, but they said that cats will treat people like they're sort of the mother cat, you know, that this is the one providing for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of a servant.
Well, and that's the way that we look at it at our house because
human, I need.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, and I've heard it said before that if you compare it, dogs have a family.
Yeah.
Cats have a staff.
Right. Yeah. You know? I say right. We need callers. Mm-hmm. I am deathly allergic to cats.
Oh, really?
Okay. I can't even go in a house that where a cat lives.
Okay. So you're not coming over to my apartment. That's good to know. Okay.
See, you're lucky. I wasn't invited
anyway.
You probably
weren't going to anyway, but there
it is. But no, my eyes swell up and my nose starts running. Mm-hmm. And, I have a long time experience with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think dogs think humans are another dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dogs relate to dogs much differently than they do people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no experience with cats. So 382-4280, 877-382-4280. If you have, well, either cat or dog experience, but do you think your cat looks at you as just a big cat?
It's a good question. And the interesting thing about this, I read a study, another one of these studies that
mm-hmm.
they take place, which really, I don't know if they have much value or not, but there they are. This particular one took note of the fact that cats will meow at people, but not other cats.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where they got that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
if that flies in the face of
mm-hmm.
a cat thinking you're just a big cat.
Sure.
because
which means, of course, that another study is needed, probably.
See, and you wonder why these things happen, Jeremy. Now you've just created the need for yet another study.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it keeps the educational industry in business. I think so. But that's the thing, and there are certain things you can observe in your cat that all cats do. For instance, there's something that our cat does that a lot of cats do. Middle of the night, she'll go out in the middle of the apartment and do what I call sing the song of her people.
Mm.
Just sort of this loud, horrible. I mean, you just want to throw something at her.
Really?
You know, and it's just this big yowling. I guess that's the best way.
How long does this go on?
Usually until my wife yells at her.
Oh.
So, you know, it doesn't take real long because she'll wake up everybody, you know, with that. So, and the funny thing is I think enough people have noticed this. And, of course, the web being full of cat stuff
because it's pictures
of cats. That's all you see on the web anymore. Someone came up with a video. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was the Diary of a Depressed Cat.
No.
It's fantastic, particularly if you – I don't want to say own a cat because I think there's a difference there. The cat owns you sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you're in that situation, if you're – or as some people like to call it, I don't personally, but if you like to call yourself a pet parent, then you might enjoy that one, particularly if you like cats. I don't know. Our cat kind of treats me like right now the source of all warmth. In the entire hemisphere. You know,
I'm going to sit on your lap.
She just glues to me, particularly in the wintertime.
Oh.
So, but, you know, does that make me a big, big cat in her eyes? I don't know.
Yeah. I've got no idea. But I don't think dogs think their human companions are
mm-hmm.
big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned your cat howling in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest dog, we lived near a fire station.
Mm-hmm.
And one time when the fire trucks were going by, we were outside, and I looked up and howled like a wolf does.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately responded and was singing with me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cute
mm-hmm.
at the time.
When we lived in the Tri-Cities,
mm-hmm.
we had a dog at that point, big old collie,
mm-hmm.
and we lived next to a busy street. So, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, fire engines would go by every
mm-hmm.
now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And when one went by, even if he was in a totally different part of the house and we weren't around him, he'd hear it, and then all of a sudden you'd hear him chime in, and
oh,
he
yeah.
sounded just like the fire engine.
Oh, yeah.
Which
no,
I figured at that point, you know, if the siren ever breaks— we've got some money here because...
Yeah, we just put your dog on a fire truck.
Rent out the dog,
yeah.
you know, and just, okay, go ahead and howl. You know?
But she's now going on 9 years old, and she still howls with every fire truck. And in Ashtama, we have a volunteer fire department,
mm-hmm.
and she sings with every volunteer who goes by.
Oh, boy.
The chief, when he goes by, she sings with. And
so when fires happen, she's doing this several times.
Oh, yeah.
She
doesn't go to the middle of the house to do it. She will lay right on the bed
mm-hmm.
and just raise her head and howl. But she doesn't even get up off the bed
mm-hmm.
to sing along.
No, but there's a definite difference between dogs and cats, because I can say this. When we had a dog, and we had the dog and the cat together, they were kind of like brother and sister, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when I would even remotely mention the dog's name, you wouldn't even have to mention his name. You could just say, the dog. He knew that was him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just come right over like, yes, yes,
dog?
You called me, you sent for me.
Squirrel.
You know, he was right there. And cats, you can sit there, walk up right behind them, say their name. No, I am not going to turn.
I'm not hearing you.
I can't hear a thing.
Nope.
So I had somebody ask me one time about our cat, that if she felt like she was just a little princess. And I looked at him for half a second and said, No, I don't think she'd stoop that low.
Right. If I can't be queen, I'm nothing.
There you go. So she kind of thinks she's in charge, you know, Her Majesty, the queen of her realm.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's definite difference there. I mean, and that's the thing, too, with our cat. She's a little, like, 12, 13-pound thing. And we had our dog up until a year or two ago, a big old 50, 60-pound dog. Guess who was in charge?
Oh, the cat.
The cat.
I saw a picture on Facebook a couple of weeks ago that shows a dog or a bowl with food in it and a cat eating.
Mm-hmm.
And there were six pit bulls surrounding that bowl. But every pit bull was exactly 2 feet back from that cat.
Uh-huh.
And clearly the cat was running the show.
Mm-hmm. It's just something about that. If you let the cat run the show, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I disagree with this whole study. I don't think they think that you're just a big cat. I think that they think you're just a big old butler.
Yeah.
Really. You know.
Jeremy. I need.
She just kind of comes over. Here.
Yes.
The bowl's empty. Come on.
What were you thinking?
The show continues. Keep it right here. You know what? State of the State. We're going to talk about that next hour.
We gotta go, gotta go. Where we gonna go? The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.